Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker. The protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is The Best of The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is Friday. A big upset in March Madness. We'll lead our show today, live in Los Angeles, The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. Well, poor J-Mac, who loves college basketball, bets it like a crazy person. He had Kentucky and BYU.
I did. In my survivor pool.
I told you I had UConn and Carolina, and you mocked me.
Well, this is the first round. I didn't have these guys going anywhere, but come on. Kentucky, woo! That's a beatdown.
So Kentucky gets beat again in the first round. And, I get the salesman hat. Pete Carroll had it at USC, Mac Brown at Texas, Urban Meyer. I get the salesman hat. Roy Williams and that Southern charm. Mike Krzyzewski, Bill Self, I get the salesman hat in college sports. You're selling yourself, your vision, your facilities, your NIL now. I get it. The really great coaches, though, aren't 24/7 salesmen. They can take the hat off and, you know, be introspective, look in the mirror, let go of their ego occasionally. There's a line between salesman and grifter, and Calipari has crossed it. After he loses last night, and this act, this is what he does every time. It's now grifting. This is briefly what he said after losing to a small school in Michigan.
I hate it for these guys that people try to define this season by that game.
No, they're not. They're not defining the season by this game or the players. It's defining you, John. Stop projecting. Psych 101. Take a course at Kentucky. Calipari's become the Hollywood director with a great, young, talented cast that keeps producing bad movies. And his excuse, well, I hate that it defines the actor's career. It doesn't. It defines the director. It doesn't define the movie industry or the actors or the writers. It defines the director. John Calipari once famously said, and just imagine the Ohio State or Alabama football coach saying this, my goal isn't to win championships at Kentucky, it's to get the players drafted. Are you kidding me? That's all you see Kentucky as? A middleman in the business? And by the way, those basketball prodigies could go to Carolina, Duke, Kansas, you know, places that win in March. They choose you, but they would be successful regardless. They're only a pit stop in college anymore anyway. This idea you give yourself so much value. We, I, these kids, They're basketball prodigies. If you get a Kentucky, Duke, Kansas scholarship, you're so insanely talented. The coach in college isn't why you get rich. They can sandpaper, refine perhaps. But, you know, and this idea, I'm not here to win championships. Well, that's the difference between Mike Krzyzewski and a million guys. March. It's why UConn now is a better program than Kentucky. March. It's why Duke is, Gonzaga is, Villanova is, although they had a down year. March. That's what defines you. It's not that Alabama's just in the South. It's that they dominated the sport. That's what defined them. And stop with the kids, the poor kids. In one sentence, you say they'll get rich. In the other, oh, the poor kids. They're fine. Your program isn't. The two most talented players in this tournament, according to the draft experts, Kentucky. It's not a point of pride that they'll be pros and get rich. It's a point of embarrassment that you can't do more with them. Since the decade started in 2021, Kentucky has just one tournament win. It's insane. 47 schools in that time have multiple NCAA tournament wins, including Oral Roberts, Texas Southern, Princeton, St. Peter's, and something called FDU. Sounds like it's a drug about to be approved. Come on, man. It's not about winning championships. Well, John, mission accomplished. I figured he'd at least be vulnerable for a day, a little human, look in the mirror. And then he would shift into put on the salesman hat, puff out the chest, go find all the friendly media spaces where you can sell your vision again. No, he did it right after the game. Right after the, oh, I hate that it defines the kids of the season. It doesn't. You have now defined Kentucky basketball as the most underachieving outfit in the sport. And you've reduced them to a middleman. Kentucky basketball, a middleman. Ohio State football, Alabama, Georgia football, Oklahoma, Texas football, Michigan. You think they're middlemen? Even though the one and done is crazy for college basketball, Kentucky's not a middleman. It's a storied, legendary franchise that deserves better. Jay Wright, by the way, a friend and somebody who doesn't do the one-and-done thing because he actually has confidence in his ability to recruit three-star kids, develop them. He believes in stability, coalition, community, not a turnstile, said yesterday about the one-and-done, the era of taking these young freshmen and trying to play against older players, it's over. And the more you guys stay in college because of NIL, it's going to be tougher for young teams to be successful. Again, that is why Villanova basketball feels like a home. And Kentucky basketball now feels like a timeshare. No more excuses. Look in the mirror. Stop projecting. You have defined Kentucky basketball. It's not about the players, the industry. It's not about that. The season, it's about you and what you're not producing. All right, so this is interesting. Bucky Brooks, former NFL scout, and you'll see a lot of this, and I read all of them because I think there's value in all of them. And so he takes the quarterbacks and he does comps, who they could be like in the NFL, and he takes size characteristics. And I think this stuff has real value. That's what general managers in the NFL do. They ask their scouts to give me three comps for every player. So he has Jaden Daniels potentially as Deshaun Watson, Drake May as Justin Herbert. We've talked about that. You can see that on tape. That's an easy one. But this is the interesting one. And it sounds like a little bit of a criticism. But I don't think Bucky Brooks is trying to make it sound like that. But I think people would read it and think this. With J.J. McCarthy at Michigan, J.J. McCarthy, he says, twice. Game manager. Exceptional management skills. A play action specialist. His comp is Alex Smith. But I want you to think about that for a second. Kirk Cousins is old, expensive, and not mobile. And he just got $45 million in Atlanta. J.J. McCarthy is young, cheap, and mobile. So Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings coach, who I think is going to go try to get McCarthy, he liked Kirk, and I think they would have kept Kirk if he was 30, much cheaper, and a little more mobile. the game's moving that way. Folks, there's only 4 to 5 quarterbacks on the planet, and I think Caleb Williams may end up being one very quickly, that are otherworldly. Josh Allen size, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray escapability, the arm talent of Matt Stafford or Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes. But a young, cheap, mobile game manager, especially if he gets an offensive coach and some weapons, wins a lot of games. Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl with some weapons and Sean McVay. And he was viewed largely as a game manager who didn't move particularly well and got expensive fast. The 49ers and Brock Purdy. Great coach, good weapons. He's a game manager. But game manager doesn't mean you're unathletic. It means you're not Superman. That you can't leap, run past, leap over. Stafford, Mahomes, there's 6 of those guys on the planet, maybe 5. One of them's Burrow, and he's struggling to stay healthy. One of them's Lamar. He has, in his career, gotten banged up a lot. So the truth is, if you look at J.J. McCarthy and Kirk Cousins, last 2 years of college, and back then Michigan State was a running team with Le'Veon Bell, if I recall, the exact same stats. Kirk Cousins and J.J. McCarthy are the same. McCarthy, just more mobile. So if I can get a cheaper, younger, slightly more mobile Kirk Cousins, I think that's what Kevin O'Connell of the Vikings sees. I think it's what Brian Daboll of the Giants sees and would like the draft. Game manager is used as a pejorative. It's not. Because if you take out the 5 or 6 otherworldly players, if you give a game manager who's young, not expensive yet, and can move a little, an offensive coach and nice weapons, you're looking at the San Francisco 49ers. And I have said this. If you put Mahomes on the Chiefs tomorrow, I think they win the Super Bowl. It is a furnished apartment ready for a young man who's inexpensive, young, can take a hit and move a little to win a lot of games quickly. J-Mac, last night watching Kentucky. And you by the way, 7 minutes to go, I thought, oh, they're not going to win this game because it was close. They were tight. They're young. You get these schools like, you know, these like smaller schools. They don't have one and done guys. So they got like 22-year-old guys.
Yeah. I wonder, do you think Calipari gets run off? His buyout's like $33 million.
No.
Yeah, by the way, Jimbo Fisher got run off in college football.
Well, it's different.
I know it's totally different, but 75 mil or something like that.
No, I don't think he'll get run off. And my take on Calipari is, can you just take the salesman hat off for an hour? You're all salesmen. I get it. Nick Saban's a great salesman. That's why he's doing the Affleck commercials. Pete Carroll was selling vision. It was awesome. But Pete could take that hat off and be a great coach and not have to constantly sell you. And after he lost, Pete would go, it's on me. Belichick has said, it's on me. Saban said, I did a bad job of coaching. All these guys, Jay Wright's a great coach. Jay can sell. They can all sell. You have to sell.
It's not just coaching. It's team building. Colin, since COVID hit, the transfer portal has transformed college sports.
Yeah.
Everybody sees that and knows that, except for John Calipari. He continues to think, oh, I got 3 future NBA freshmen on this team. You know, they're 19 years old. They can't hang with 23, 24. That's just the reality.
Yeah, we know they'll be better pros.
Certainly.
But there's such an advantage. I mean, people forget this. Like, even the frontal lobe. Like, you don't, intellectually, your brain doesn't really, like, finish growing until, like, 24. You know, just mentally. So, physically, you see all these college basketball players. They're skinny. A 22-year-old, even at Oakland's been in a weight room for 3 or 4 years longer. So it is difficult, but everybody's pivoting off the one and done. And Kentucky,
except for Calipari, and it's not just physical; it's like heart and desire. Oakland, which is tiny compared to Kentucky, had 14 offensive rebounds. That's just desire, want.
Yeah,
being older,
good point.
And just I want it. And freshmen are just a little passive. The young kids for Kentucky, I think the 3 big dogs shot like 4 of 18 or something in a big one and done spot. It's just tough.
I mean, listen, I don't think the quality of college basketball is great right now, but I will say what makes it great is moments like that. That last 20 minutes of time, I'm just sitting there going, oh, no. St. Peter's last year, Oakland, I just like, And I felt, honestly, with 5 minutes, 6 minutes left, I'm like, no, they're not going to win this game.
Yeah. Every game is like an NBA Game 7 without the NBA talent, but just like that's and a lot of these guys, Colin, they're never going to play basketball again, ever.
Yeah.
This is the last, like, you know, with 20,000 fans
screaming.
Oh, you
can see the emotion.
That's what's so awesome about it, and I love it.
So does America.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball. All for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Vredestein tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Vredestein test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
So, I mean, a lot of people have said the NBA playoffs this year, like if a LeBron or a Steph Curry doesn't make it, it won't be very interesting because the Celtics are going to fly through the East. And Denver's great, but not nationally, you know, stirring. Phoenix has been disappointing. So a lot of stars, like a Durant, a Steph Curry, LeBron, may not go very far. I'll tell you what I think's interesting, and it may not be interesting till after the playoffs and the offseason, but I think Milwaukee's fascinating. So Giannis came back last night from his injury. He's having an insane year. 31 a game, second best in his career. Career highs in field goal percentage, assists, his 11 rebounds. He's really offensively unstoppable. And if they get extinguished quickly by Boston, and they don't match up with Boston, and they're not close to Boston, they're just not athletic enough to stop Boston on the wing. Or if they got eliminated by, like, a Miami, Giannis is turning 30 soon. It's his 11th season, and he relies heavily on athleticism. He will age fast. He is the opposite of Dirk Nowitzki, who could still score at 38, 39, and 40. That's not Giannis. He's the only big now that doesn't shoot threes. He's not a shooter. And so he's going to age. It's like Westbrook. When you're hyper-athletic, you age quickly. Steph, less athletic, great shooter, ages gracefully. And I think Giannis knows this. I think the Dame acquisition was a little bit of a Hail Mary. They did not want to get rid of Drew Holiday. And Giannis has said, I'm a winner first, a Buck second. I will take a better opportunity. And this Bucks roster is the oldest in the league. And the good players are really old. Brook Lopez, Middleton, Dame. And I think Giannis is having this insane season. He knows that he's hyper-athletic, getting injured more. And I believe if they get extinguished and are not really competitive against Boston, and I think they could get swept by Boston or lose in five. I don't think they match up at all with the Celtics. Celtics are way, way too athletic, younger. I think he's going to ask to leave. I think he's going to want to go to California, play with a LeBron, play with a Steph. But he's a smart kid. He knows. My game's athleticism. I'm getting banged up more. The guys around me, the good players are old. We don't match up with Boston, and they don't at all. Didn't last year, don't this year. So people say, well, this year's playoffs, I don't know how compelling they are. I think a team that could get eliminated quickly is the most fascinating story. Keep your eye on Giannis, who is having a remarkable year, but he turns 30 very quickly, and increasingly, he gets dinged up. Bigs do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
You know, as the host of the number one rated Pauly and Tony Fusco show, we get tons and tons of fan mail every day.
Piles of it.
In fact, Tony, why don't you open up one of those letters right now and read what's inside?
Yeah, listen to this. Dear Pauly and Tony, your sports takes are the dumbest and most terrible.
Wait, not that one.
Wait,
open this other one.
Dear Pauly and Tony, you suck more than anyone.
Not that one.
Wait.
Try this one.
Dear Pauly and Tony, you guys are the absolute best.
There you go.
At coming up with the stupidest takes possible.
You know what? Forget this. Just listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Next weekend, pro football is back on Fox as the UFL kicks off on Saturday, March 30th, with the USFL champion Birmingham Stallions taking on the XFL champion Arlington Renegades. And kickoff weekend continues Sunday, March 31st on ESPN.
So John Calipari loses last night. And again, he moves right into the sales pitch. He basically has one gear and one style. I'll make you a lottery pick. That's all he's got. So he was asked about the fact that he keeps losing in the early rounds to older players and that he has to move off this one and done turnstile element to his program, which really is his program. And here's what he said.
I've done this with young teams my whole career. And it's going to be hard for me to change that because we've helped so many young people and their families that I don't see myself just saying, okay, we're not going to recruit freshmen.
Who said that? Again, the grift. Nobody said that. Why can't you have more balance? And by the way, are you saying Jay Wright and Roy Williams didn't help families and kids because they stayed 2 or 3 years at Carolina or Villanova? Only kids that are one and done are aided. I could argue the opposite is true, that you're less embedded and less important and less valuable to any young basketball player's life if you're in it more briefly. I could certainly argue that Jay Wright means much more to his players than Calipari, who's turned Kentucky basketball into a rest area, a pit stop to fill up and leave, means to theirs. Did you notice the salesmanship? I've helped so many kids, though. We've helped so many kids. Bill Self hasn't. Mark Few hasn't. Jay Wright didn't. Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski didn't. The only way to help kids is the one and done, to be a lottery pick. That's it. I don't think he's going to get fired. He's a great recruiter. He does some things very well. He's got a natty. He recruits very well. But I think, ask Belichick. Old rich guys struggle to pivot. Andy Reid doesn't. Most do. You know, it's very much like Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's an old-school motivator and defensive coach. And the NFL's now an offensive league, and Mike has struggled to pivot. And John Calipari is a salesman, and that one-and-done thing before the transfer portal and NIL exploded, it was kind of working, and now it doesn't. Because players are staying, and you're facing older teams, and he's just saying, I can't pivot. Can you imagine Mike Tomlin saying, I can't pivot? John Calipari is just saying, I can't pivot, I can't change. And his argument makes no sense. I mean, play that by one more time. The argument is you can only really help families if you just recruit them, use your program as a pit stop, and then they get rich. Couldn't I argue a second year in school, what to do with the money, more maturity, more community, dealing with kids in a college campus, global environment? That doesn't help families and kids. Here's that bite again, and I don't buy it.
I've done this with young teams my whole career, and it's going to be hard for me to change that because we've helped so many young people and their families that I don't see myself just saying, okay, we're not going to recruit freshmen.
Nobody's saying that you have to do that. Nobody is saying that. That's projecting. You're making an argument that nobody is saying. Jay Wright recruited freshmen, but he wanted to build something, and he trusted his coaching. He didn't feel he always had to buy the best players. He could create them. Jalen Brunson. He could create Mikal Bridges. He could create them with his coaching, his patience, his understanding of development. This has a very used car salesman, you know, in, out, pit stop, rest area, make them rich. I don't buy it. But you know what? A lot of people buy it. And I don't think he's getting fired because I think, like a Mike Tomlin, Steelers in Kentucky, there's things they do well. They're kind of relevant, but I don't think Kentucky's elite anymore. I don't think the Steelers are elite anymore. I think there's 5 or 6, 7, 8. I think Baltimore's elite. Cincinnati with Burrow's elite. I don't think the Steelers are. I think Gonzaga. I think Kansas. There's a UConn. I just don't think Kentucky's an elite program. I think they have an elite brand. For years and years, Michigan had an elite brand, but Michigan wasn't an elite football program until Harbaugh got there and had years to build. Notre Dame for years had an elite brand. Brian Kelly made it an elite football program. Kentucky's got an elite brand. They're not an elite program. They don't win.
You want to contrast that with what Deion Sanders said yesterday? Remember, he's like, I'm saving the school money. I don't go to living rooms and recruit. I recruit the portal. He is the modern coach who's doing it
but
very
remember,
smartly.
Remember, Colorado football is a mosquito. Kentucky basketball is an elephant. So Kentucky basketball, they don't have to convince you to come. You go look at their facilities, you want to play there. It's a great brand. I mean, I could argue Duke was the academic brand, but I can argue the two best basketball brands of my lifetime are Carolina and Kentucky. Kansas is certainly in the discussion. And there's a lot of other great ones. UConn's amazing. But it's like, that's different. Deion is saving Colorado football.
Yeah.
They got debt. They got no money. That's not Kentucky's horse, bourbon and horse country, horse farms. They got money in Lexington.
Maybe the money for a buyout. But, Colin, if you want to save Kentucky basketball, get them back to prominence. They haven't been to a Final Four in like 9 years.
You have to sit down with Calipari. Bring a mirror and say, you know what doesn't work in any industry? When a guy says, hey, I've always done it one way, ask Belichick how that works. That's that. When you hear that from a basketball coach, well, I've only done it one way. Oh, that's funny because the way is changing. That's when you fire a coach. Like I would bring him in and I'd play that tape for him and say, you sound like an old guy that's out of touch. I've only done it one way. That's not a correct answer when your business is struggling. Mike Krzyzewski, by the way, was anti-one-and-done, and Mike Krzyzewski pivoted because he said, I started getting beaten by the one-and-done guys. Roy Williams. I mean, all these guys. Bill Self's probably the best coach in college basketball. I always thought it was Jay Wright or Bill Self. Now I think it's Bill Self. Bill Self will get a one-and-done guy, but there's this idea there's one kind of guy can recruit. And it's not like Kentucky's never had guys that have stayed 2 or 3 years. But boy, that worries me when I hear, this is the way I do business. Bill Belichick's the best football coach ever, right? That's what he did. We got a way of doing things here. Where's Bill? Couldn't get the Atlanta job. So, by the way, July 20th, Mike Tyson fights Jake Paul. I'm going to play a clip of Jake Paul. You tell me, do you think this is confidence or fear? Here was Jake Paul in his podcast about facing Tyson this summer.
Seriously, babe, but what if he knocks you out? Like, is that your last fight?
Yeah, no, I'm too sharp and fast. Mike, I really want to see, bro. Let's see all the legends, the myths, because you're Iron Mike Tyson, but I have an iron chin. People know that. Like, I take shots. So I think people are underestimating that me being able to deal with his power. And that is what something that is going to make it interesting.
First of all, Jake Paul cannot call Mike Tyson bro. You are not bros. He's a pro athlete, retired, but a pro athlete. As far as Jake Paul's iron chin, he admitted in 2021, after three fights versus tomato cans, that he had slurred speech and memory loss. After three fights against tomato cans, like ex-UFC guys, basketball players, he estimates he's had 20 to 30 concussions. He's a tough guy. Jake Paul's not a pro athlete. He's just a tough guy who's a YouTuber. He's not a pro athlete. I mean, never forget Nolan Ryan, the baseball pitcher, threw an 85-mile-an-hour fastball at 63 years old. Kobe had 60 in his last game. George Foreman, mid-40s, was knocking out young guys. Pro athlete. Drew Bledsoe could get a football today and sling it. He lost his legs. He doesn't want to go to camp. But I've played basketball with, like, ex-athletes. Let me tell you something. They still got it. They don't have it for extended periods of time. But you can tell a pro athlete very quickly against weekend warrior guy that played Division II. And I like Jake Paul's shtick. I like watching boxing, so I'm entertained by it. But if I was Jake Paul, I would run for four rounds, try to tire out Tyson. But this whole thing is I've got a steel chin. He acknowledges when he shook hands with Tyson at the PR function, he told people his hands felt like bricks. And they're going to meet your steel chin, and it's not going to be good. Listen, years ago, I read a survey. 75% of low-level college athletes and good high school athletes thought they could play pros. They just got a bad break or the coach didn't like him. Men are delusional on athleticism. I can remember years ago. I'll tell it next hour. I mean, most guys who are good athletes, good high school athlete, lower division, they really think it was like the coach had it in for me, or I'd be the Warriors off guard. I work with one. Okay.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Vredestein tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Vredestein test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Well, he was the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year. The most quarterback starts in college football history was 61, and the highest single-season completion percentage in football history at 77%. Bo Nix is joining us. Dad was a coach. I'm sure Mom and Dad are watching. So the first thing is, I know I've had so many friends who are scouts and GMs, so when Bo walks in, I'm sizing him up. I'm looking at his height. So I'm 6'1.5". You're absolutely 1 inch taller than me, minimum. So you're listed at 6'2". You're the rare college athlete who's actually bigger than what you're listed. So you feel 6'2.5" to me, size 12 shoe. I know I'm weird, but that's the stuff I look at. You're much bigger, broader than I am. So let's start with this. A lot of starts, and one of the things I liked about you, the SEC is the best college football conference, so you played in those big stadiums. But then you came out west, and the Pac-12 probably last year was the best it's been. You play in Loud Autzen. You played at Husky Stadium. So when you look at your experience, take Bo Nix today and Bo Nix at Auburn, where are you, in your opinion, noticeably better?
That's a loaded question because I feel like I've gotten better in a lot of different areas. You could talk experience and you could say, you know, I've played in a lot of different environments, played in a lot of different situations. And, you know, that all starts and stems from my freshman year. You know, I played it in Gainesville. I played in the Swamp. I played in Death Valley. Like, it starts, you know, very, very early in my career. And those are still some of the loudest environments I've ever played in. And once you play in those, you just get better and you start handling things a little bit better. And you just, you know, become accustomed to what college football is like. And then now moving forward, I feel very confident that experience and that knowledge of the game and what I've been able to put together is going to really help me, you know, early in my career, but also just as I go, just to handle the adversity in so many different ways.
So Oregon had a great screen game, very well coached team that I thought I didn't see you ad lib a ton, some in the two games I saw you live. Do you consider yourself an ad-libber? Drew Brees is your comp. He's not. You're more mobile than Drew, although he's a very good athlete, but as he got older, he didn't move as much. Your thought, if you get a bad O-line in the NFL and you have to move, are you comfortable in that space?
Well, that's another great question. I truly believe if a quarterback plays on time and if he knows where he goes with the ball, he can have, you know, whatever O-line you give him, he can take a three-step drop and get the ball out and be okay. You know, he may take a hit at the end, but, you know, they still have to rush from, you know, about 5 to 7 yards away, and they still got to get to you, and it's just a three-step drop. If you're playing on time, you get the ball out, then you shouldn't really have to ad-lib a whole lot. You know, offensive coordinators, they don't create plays, and, you know, they don't put you in schemes to ad lib and to move around if you play on time and know where you're going with the ball. So, but at times the defense does a good job. They're you know, paid a lot of money too to stop you from doing that. So at times you do need to ad lib, and I feel like I can ad lib, and I have you know, created at very high levels. But I definitely don't want to depend or rely on that. And I just assume play on time and know where to go with the ball and prepare and, you know, not have to do that. But it is fun ad-libbing at times, and it's fun to go out there and create something. And,
right,
you know, when you know, something bad happens, you got to make somebody miss or avoid. And, you know, I feel like I've put plenty of that on tape, but, you know, it's important just to play on time and know where you're going with the ball.
Yeah, your dad was a quarterback at Auburn. Your dad was a coach, so he can't get to all your games. He coaches on Friday, so you come from a coach. That's a big deal. So you Oregon's had guys, Justin Herbert, Marcus Mariota. I know you've talked to the Mannings. When you talk to a Justin, let's say, for instance, like, is there a piece of advice that really sticks?
Well, you know, I've been fortunate, especially, you know, at Oregon, I was around Justin Herbert, I was around Marcus Mariota in the offseason. Like, they come back to Oregon, and they're around, and they, you know, they're available. And they just, you know, when they walk through, when they're around, they just, you can tell those guys are just wholeheartedly themselves and authentic. And, you know, and that's all you got to do when you get to the league. Just be yourself. You know, Justin, you know, he's a quiet, reserved guy, but yep. he leads his team as well as anybody. So, and Marcus is the same way. They're just, you know, authentic guys that, you know, they don't necessarily make it about them, and they don't
little
make
Eli
it.
Little Eli Manning's like
they
that.
Don't, yeah, they don't make it, you know, bigger than what it has to be. They just go out there and play football, and they play it at a really high level. And then, you know, I respect both of those guys, and, you know, I've seen them have success and how they've done it. And, you know, it teaches me a lot about the situation.
So last year, Sean Payton's a friend of mine. He was here every Monday. He'd come on the show. I know Denver's looking at a quarterback. Sean's funny because he's very raw. He'll just ask you right up front stuff. I mean, there's no phoniness. Like, he'll just cut right to the chase. So you've met with Sean. What's the first thing you want to know?
Well, he you know, he has several questions. He's just, like you said, he's kind of dry and just straight to the point. And one of the questions is, you know, Bo, what's your shoe size? And so I told him a 12, and, you know, he's kind of sizing me up, kind of like you did. He's like, you probably should be wearing a 13 or something. And I was like, you know, that's yeah, probably so. But I mean, that's just what I wear. I wear a 12. So, but yeah, he's been fun to interact with, fun to get to know, as well as, I mean, there's so many, you know, coaches like him, and so many, you know, people of his nature that are, you know, on that stage that make the decisions, and, you know, they've been doing this for a long time. And when you just get to sit down and meet and interact with those types of people, it's just really fun. You can learn a lot and grow a lot as a person.
No, I mean, literally, you're like the supermodel now. You're going down the runway. He's walking in the hall today, and you're going to the, by the way, when you go to the combine or your pro day. So how many teams were at your pro day, and how did it go for you? It was last week.
Yeah, pro day was really good. It gave me a chance to throw with my guys one more time, and it gave me a chance to, you know, be at Oregon one more time and just put on a show for everybody. But I think it was important to get out there and just have some fun. It was important to go out there and, you know, do what I do and just do what, you know, makes me, you know, who I am. And it was fun to go, you know, I see the tape roll, and it was fun to be out there with those guys and throw it to all of them. And like you can see, we all had a good time. We all had a blast. And there's plenty of teams there. And it's not about, you know, the teams that are there. There's going to be one team that you're going to, you know, fit in with, and there's gonna be a situation that works better for you, and that's really all that you need. You just need one. And but I do know that the whole process, the whole, you know, it's a big interview. Everything's important, and you just want to find that team.
So I remember watching Aaron Rodgers at Cal, and he had a good arm, and then 3 years later he had a great arm. And Aaron's a hard worker, obviously. So I do believe people tend to think when you get to the NFL, you're a finished product. And it's like Josh Allen was like a wild, out-of-control player. He just needed to be sandpapered. You don't. Your arm is good. Are you happy with it? Because in the NFL, you could go to a cold weather team. Now, Oregon can be wet and windy. You know, you end up in a cold weather team. You end up arm strength. What are things physically that you are thinking, hey, I got to work on that. I want to refine that. I want to get stronger, better at that.
Well, that's a question that every offseason I go back and, you know, I got to answer for myself is, you know, what was I not capable of doing during the season? And fortunately for me, I've played in the South where it's really hot, you know, very humid. Played in the Pacific Northwest where it rains and it's cold. And, you know, so I've been part of a lot of different atmospheres and, you know, quite frankly, I've been able to handle them, you know, really well. But I think that every year and every off season, you know, I want to be that guy that never settles and never is complacent with who I am as a player. You know, if I would have just stopped in high school, you know, I'd have never turned out to be a decent player in college. And if I stop now, then I'm not going to be, you know, a good player in the league. So I'm always going to find ways to compete with myself and be better. And you know, whether that's physical or mental, whatever it means, to where I got to go out there and get the job done. But I do think that, you know, every aspect of my game is what I'm working on. I'm working on my speed. You know, I want to get faster. I'm working on arm strength. You know, you can never throw the ball far enough. You can never throw the ball hard enough, even though receivers may say differently. They want you to throw a catchable football, which goes a lot into it if you want to, you know, avoid, you know, different drops and that sort of thing. But I feel like, you know, I've shown on tape that I can make any throw on the field. I can throw it as far as anybody wants me to throw it in a play, and I can throw it, you know, accurately, and I can put the ball to the field, to the boundary, you know, on a line, put some trajectory on it. That just comes with playing the sport, playing the position. You kind of have to have some feel when you get into within the play. But I've been, you know, always eager to get better every offseason, and that's why I think in college I've made strides every year, because I haven't been complacent, and I don't plan on, you know, doing that or starting that in the league. I plan on getting better every year.
Well, one of the things I discovered here, you're married, you have a beautiful wife, she's here with you. I kind of like that. I also like the fact that you were willing to move cross-country. Sometimes people get into a region, and then all of a sudden you ask them to leave the region. It's a lot to ask young people. So you're married, you're stable, good family, you've lived on both coasts. Is there, you know, is there a team or a fit? Like, what, if I said, okay, what kind of offense? Like, you like timing. You like, so Sean Payton is a coach. Sean will draw a play up. He wants you to stay on the play.
No doubt.
He not messing around with that. Would you prefer that? Or a defensive coach that kind of lets you run it? Like, what's your favorite offense or fit?
Well, I think my favorite is one that's going to score a lot of touchdowns. So it all depends on who do I have on my offense. You know, what other players do you have? You know, if we need to run the ball a lot to win games.
You're okay with that?
Let's do it. If we want to throw the ball 50 times a game, let's do that too. But I love, like you said, staying on time, having progressions, going through them, you know, having a lot of answers built into plays.
You're a film junkie.
Film, yeah. So preparing and knowing what the defense is going to do and then know where the ball has got to get to after that. But, yeah, I think there's so many different ways to do the same thing, and you just want to find ways to be efficient, move the football, and whatever is asked of me in the next level, you know, I'm capable of doing. I've been in a lot of systems, learned a lot of things.
How many coordinators have you had?
I've had 5 different coordinators.
Wow. With
3 different head coaches. So
think about that.
Year it was a new offense.
So you've had 5 coordinators, and yet think about, I'm reading this real quick. So you've had 5 coordinators, and yet you led the nation. So your career completion percentage is almost 67% with 5 coordinators, 152 touchdowns, 26 picks, 95 total touchdowns and 9 picks since transferring to Oregon. That's something, 5 coordinators in 5 years. And how much did that affect you, by the way?
Well, I like to say it didn't necessarily affect me. It just kind of, you know, helped me for the future. I think learning playbooks and learning offense is, in my opinion, the fun part. I love, you know, offense. I love scheme. I love to talk ball. And so that's sometimes, you know, I think one of my strengths. But at the same time, you get into the game, that can sometimes be a weakness because you overthink the play, or, you know, they're supposed to be in cover two. That corner's supposed to take that away, but he's not, so take the play and move on. And so things like that is what I've gotten better at, not overthinking the game as you prepare at a high level. But when it comes to talking ball and learning things, you know, it's fun to do that. But I'm not going to say that there's not value in having the same stuff and being familiar and comfortable.
By the way, so this is a very thoughtful guy. So he hears that I'm a skier, and he knows I'm from the Northwest, and he probably knows that I grew up a Husky fan. But I did cover Oregon, so I've always liked Oregon. So he brought me a ski hat with a duck. So from this point forward, if you see this guy flying down a mountain at 100 miles an hour, that will be me with a duck hat. So Oregon is a place in my heart. I've said this, the 2 loudest stadiums I've been to in my life are Gainesville. That's
number one.
You can't hear yourself think. It's because it's built straight up. It's incredibly loud, almost at an unhealthy level. Like when you're old, your ears will be ringing for a month. And then Oregon. And I grew up a Husky fan, but that stadium is more open. So be honest, when you first got to Oregon, you know, you're a SEC guy, you grew up in the South. Were you like, damn, this is impressive?
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't realize I had never been to a game out West. I had never been to a game at Oregon until I played in my first game. So I've yet to be a fan at Autzen Stadium, which I'm fired up to go back and watch a game, you know, and experience it. But
look at that. Look at that crowd.
It's incredible. And it's got its own, you know, flair to it. It's not like anything else.
That's
because
right.
It's original. You know, it's Autzen
and also,
is Autzen.
You know, the
for
other thing is that whereas Auburn and Bama have been good forever, Oregon's been great for about 20 years. So the crowd is young. It's really got, like Michigan football, everybody's, you know, they're older. Like the Oregon vibe is really, it's a new power. You can make an argument, it's the only new college football power in 20 years is Oregon. And you liked it. You just felt at home.
At home from the get-go, and I think that's why, you know, I'll always be able to call it home. I'll always be able to go back and, you know, experience games. And, you know, it's just, I mean, I words can't describe my feelings for it and what, you know, the love I have for not only university, but the people that welcomed me and Izzy in, you know, at the very get-go. And, you know, my teammates were incredible. My coaches were incredible. They just made it two incredible years. But yeah, I think the stadium, the atmosphere at Oregon, you know, in a big time game, you know, it can compete with a lot of stadiums out
there.
So
you faced Michael Penix a couple times, watching him from the sidelines. What was your take on him?
I mean, he can play. I mean, he can play. He competes at a high level. I think one thing that I value from him is like, he just always went to the next play. He always kept playing. Nothing was ever too big, and he always made the next best play. And you know, we had some absolute games together. He got me all three times. I never beat him, but you know, I have a lot of respect for him. And you know, those guys that he was playing with were, you know, fun to watch too, and not necessarily on the sideline, but on video they were fun to watch. When I was on the sideline, I was hoping, you know, that they would, you know, either trip and fall or drop it or whatever.
What'd you make of that game against Washington? Had you been to Husky Stadium?
So that was my first experience, and that was very loud. That competes, you know, with another one of those loud environments. And you know, we had to use silent count the whole game, but you know, we made it work and we managed.
It was a great game.
We were down to the wire, and you know, we were a few yards away. And it's just, that's how football works sometimes. And sometimes the other team, they get you.
So you got a receiver, Franklin, who's a very interesting receiver. You have a running back, is Bucky Irvin, the running back, who I think there's an argument he's the best running back coming into the pros this year. Did you feel like it give you a sense a little bit pro football, just because you played it with, to me, a first or a second round running back, a first or a second round receiver. You also had top offensive linemen. You played with pro football players. Washington's got pro football players. SEC does. You didn't play small college football. Did you feel like a little bit, when you were playing at Oregon, like this feels a little bit like pro football?
Well, both schools I went to, you were playing against NFL level, NFL caliber defenses. Those guys are going to continue to go to the next level with you and play on Sundays. Now, where they go, how long they play, if they make it, that's up to them. But you're playing against real talent. You're playing against guys that are going to go on to the next level.
Yeah, so, Alabama had a few of those.
Well, every team I've played, really. And, you know, I think the SEC is, that's, you know, it's out there. But people underestimate the talent in the Pac-12. And we got to see it this past year with the last year of it. But it's probably top to bottom as good as the conference has ever been. And, you know, it was, you know, the best year to do it being its last. But every week you were playing a team that was just, I mean, this team's sneaking around. This team's really good. You better bring it.
Yeah.
So that part was fun, and it was, you know, shame on me for thinking that the SEC was better than the Pac-12 until I got out there and started playing in it. But I think you should respect every conference, and every team in college football has a chance to go out there and win.
When you're, the draft process is crazy. Like if you were my son and other people are talking about my son, what do you make of it when guys like me have opinions or somebody say, I don't know about Bo Nix. I think he's a little like Drew Brees. What do you make of this whole spectacle? Because once you play, you'll have the local media. But now, again, you're the supermodel on the runway, and we all have opinions. Do you hear it? Do you like it? What do you make? Your mom sends stuff to you and go, well, listen to this idiot.
Well, my parents are you know, they stay away from it. They don't get into it. But now I have plenty of people that watch it and say, Bo, I heard this. And I'm like, I told y'all to quit listening to all that because it's not always true. But I think I try to limit distractions and avoid, you know, the outside noise that I can't necessarily control. But sometimes it is put right in front of you and you can't help but to see it. You know, you're in a restaurant, it's on the TV or whatever. And, you know, so you can't avoid it all, but you can avoid what you do, what you put on yourself. So, you know, there are several times that, you know, I'm off Instagram and I'm off social media because I just don't want to listen to it.
That's right.
It doesn't make me any better. And thinking about it, it's not going to, you know, make me any better at all. But I feel like, you know, I'm at my best when I'm in my own lane, doing my own thing, working as hard as I can to be the best player that I can possibly be. And at the end of the day, that's my ultimate goal. That's all I can do, and that's all I can control.
What a pleasure for us. Bo Nix, weren't you amazed, J-Mac? Five different offensive coordinators in 5 years, and he puts up staggering numbers. 43 wins, 18 losses, over 15,000 passing yards, and not a lot of interceptions. 95 TDs, 9 picks since transferring to Oregon the last 2 years. Dan Lanning's done a great job up there.
Really great.
With you, SEC guy, came up to the Northwest, and I've been shocked, but he's been a home run. He does a terrific job. Great to meet you and your wife.
You too.
Good luck. Don't listen to me. I'm just blabbing. Just turn off your Twitter or whatever you're on, your X now, and we wish you the very best of luck, my man.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. J-Mac, next, tomorrow's headlines today.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
You know, as the host of the number one rated Pauly and Tony Fusco show, we get tons and tons of fan mail every day.
Piles of it.
In fact, Tony, why don't you open up one of those letters right now and read what's inside?
Yeah, listen to this. Dear Pauly and Tony, your sports takes are the dumbest and most terrible...
Wait, not that one.
Wait,
open this other one.
Dear Pauly and Tony, you suck more than anyone...
Not that one.
Wait.
Try this one.
Dear Pauly and Tony, you guys are the absolute best.
There you go.
At coming up with the stupidest takes possible.
You know what? Just forget what those clowns say. Just listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, started off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers. And with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. Best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by a smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. Visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and don't go gently, y'all.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.